Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, July 2nd, 2016, 26 Sivan, 5776, Parashat Shelach Lecha, Numbers 13:1 through 15:41, Haftarah, Joshua 2:1 through 24, Devar Torah, What Happens When We Just See What We Want to See, by Rabbi Joseph A. Skloot. On July 2, 2014, the prestigious science journal Nature retracted two heralded papers in the field of stem cell research, papers it had published only a few months earlier. The articles described a revolutionary process called STAP, where biologists subjected mature adult cells to physical stresses and transformed them into stem cells. Yet, in the editorial announcing the paper's retraction, Nature's editors reported that the data that were an essential part of the author's claims had been misrepresented and that the author's work was marred by sloppiness and selection bias. All told, as the journalist Dana Goodyear has written in The New Yorker, a far-reaching and sensational conjecture was defeated by flaws that were at best irreparable and at worst unconscionable. Goodyear tells us, the authors of the retracted papers were willing to publish such dubious research because they were captivated by the initial hypothesis that mature cells could be transformed into stem cells almost effortlessly. The romance of the idea of STAP blinded them to contradictory evidence as it came to light. In the language of psychology, this is called confirmation bias. She described how, even after their false data was unmasked, one key scientist continued to stand by his conclusions. His faith in the basic principles of STAP was unshakable, Goodyear writes. And while most of us are not engaged in uncovering the basic principles of human life and the universe on a daily basis, none of us are immune to confirmation bias. Many of us know the pain of realizing that we hooked our cart to the wrong horse, so to speak. Sometimes we become so wedded to an idea that we close our minds to the possibility that that idea isn't all it's cracked up to be. That's what happens in this week's Torah reading, Parashat Shelach Lecha. Shelach Lecha is famous for the story of the 12 scouts whom God sent to explore the land of Canaan. In Numbers 13:17 through 20, we read how Moses instructs the scouts, "Go up there, into the Negev and on into the hill country, and see what kind of country it is. Are the people who dwell in it strong or weak, few or many? Is the country in which they dwell good or bad? Are the towns they live in open or fortified? Is the soil rich or poor? Is it wooded or not? And take pains to bring back some of the fruit of the land." The scouts do their due diligence. They travel the length and breadth of the land. They sample its bounty. At the end of 40 days, when they return to the Israelite camp and make their report, we read in Numbers 13:27 through 28, "We came to the land you sent us to. It does indeed flow with milk and honey. However, the people who inhabit the country are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." This information no doubt struck fear in the hearts of Israelite listeners. 10 of the 12 scouts went even further, as we read in Numbers 13:31. "We cannot attack that people, for it is stronger than we." Two of the scouts, Caleb and Joshua, however, disagreed. They exhorted the people, "The land that we traversed and scouted is an exceedingly good land. Have no fear then of the people of the country, for they are our prey. Their protection has departed from them, but the Eternal is with us. Have no fear of them." Needless to say, things don't end well for the 10 pessimists. They die in a plague. Only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived, we learn in Numbers 14:38. Our sages sought to understand the motivation behind the wicked band of 10 scouts. How could two groups of people of such lopsided numbers encounter the same evidence and draw such radically different conclusions from it? The sages' answer lies in their meticulous reading of the Hebrew text. When the scouts returned to the Israelite camp Our translation reads, "They went straight to Moses." But the literal translation of the text is, "They went and they came to Moses." Why, our sages ask, does the Torah use these two verbs? We already know scouts went into the land, so why does the text use the verb again? The answer, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches, is that there must be some kind of equivalence between the scouts going and coming. If they came back with evil counsel, they must have gone with evil counsel too, he says. See Babylonian Talmud, Sota 35a. In other words, the 10 wicked scouts must have left on their mission predisposed to the notion that the land was inhospitable, and everything they saw there only confirmed that bias. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, were able to see the land for what it was, and what it could be, a land flowing with milk and honey, ripe for the taking. Science, as it turns out, isn't all that different from exploring a new land. It's about, as Goodyear says, struggling to stay both radically open to insights and ruthlessly skeptical about them. Our lives aren't all that different either. In our relationships, our families, our professions, so often we see what we want to see and miss contrary evidence staring us right in the face. The message of our Torah portion is that a land of milk and honey awaits us only if we relinquish our preconceptions. Rabbi Joseph A. Skloot is assistant rabbi at Washington Hebrew Congregation and a doctoral candidate in history at Columbia University. He is chair of the CCAR's Worship and Practice Committee.